Praise God. Let's turn over to Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4, verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Thank God. Verse 9 says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now this verse... couple years ago in 2014, we started 2014, and we had a series called Think on These Things. It took the same thing as a text. And I encourage you, if you didn't hear that, go back and listen to it, even if you have heard it. It'd be a good thing to go back and listen to. But the thing I want to focus on of this verse, I feel impressed to focus on this morning, is the phrase there at the beginning that says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Whatever things are true. You know, this is such a big deal. Because notice it says, finally, whatever things are true, and then it says other things, and then at the end it says, meditate or think on these things. But I want to focus on that part, whatever things are true. Because, you know, a whole lot of our problems stem from the fact that we're thinking on things that actually aren't true. And the devil, this is one of his favorite territories. In fact, we'll get into that. This is one of his strong points. Is creating havoc by telling us and getting us to believe things that aren't true. So many of our problems are stemming from the fact that we believe stuff, we believe things. Somewhere in our lives, we became to hold and subscribe to a certain belief system, and certain things are just falsehoods. Yet we're basing our life on them, and we're making decisions based on them. How many of you know if we get rid of some of those things, a lot of stuff will just clear up automatically? Knowing the truth will set you free, Jesus said. Amen? Let's read this on your sheet in Philippians 4:8, the New International Version. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, all these other phrases, whatever is noble and whatever is right, so on and so forth, these things would be true. They would be truth. You know? If something's noble, it's right. Like it says that. Right? Whatever's pure, those things would be true. Truth. Whatever thing is, something is devious or twisted, well, twisted from what? Twisted from the truth. It's wrong. So all these things go together. If we'll just get the true part in what is actually God. Because how many know God is light. God is life. God is truth. His word is truth. So if we'll focus and have as our meditation the things that are true, so much of our anguish will just leave. New Living Translation. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. What are those things that are excellent and worthy of praise? They're godly things. They're things that stem from the Almighty. You know, nothing warped or twisted or wrong or false ever came from Him? He is pure light. He doesn't have even a little bit of anything wrong in Him. He is the Almighty, the Creator. From Him all life stems, all life flows. Everything good and perfect comes from Him. Anything that you see is twisted or a little bit off is because of the enemy. Is the result of the curse and the fall, which goes back to Satan. And we'll see that. We'll get into that. But discouragement comes from believing lies, or the devil's lies, because all lies come from him. And we'll see that in a moment. Any kind of discouragement, defeat, anxiety, depression, they all come from believing the devil's lies. His warped sense and warped influence of what is true. There's things that people call true that aren't actually true. They're actually half-truths or quarter-truths or downright lies, but there are things that people call true that are actually flat lies. But certain people hold them to be true. In fact, I'll go as far as to say everybody in this room believes certain things that are actually false in some form. You say that's a bad confession. It's not. Your understanding, my understanding, is not completely perfect. In other words, do you think exactly the way God thinks? Could anybody stand up and say, I know in every single area, in understanding, in life, I understand the way God Almighty, the Creator, understands? Then we have something. What are the gaps? What are the misunderstandings? They've come from a warped and a twisted fallen world and our experience in it to where understanding doesn't exactly line up with what is true. Well, what is that? It's falsehood. It's a warped sense of what's true. You may hold something that is true, that you think is true, because your dad said it. Because your mom said it. Maybe you heard it at church, but it wasn't lined up with Scripture. And so you've carried it for decades that you believe it's true. It's actually not. But you'll make decisions and react to certain situations based on what you believe to be true, when in fact, it's not. And so you go through torment, and you go through heartache, because you believe something to be true that is actually false. And if you knew the truth, you'd say, well, that's what the truth is. Well, there's nothing to worry about then. But we can spend hours or days or months in knots because we're uptight about something that actually is false. We're uptight over nothing, really. Because the truth is, there is no problem. The truth is, that person thinks you're fine. The truth is, you look okay. And you spent how long thinking this person meant that, or I didn't impress this person, or gosh, I should have said this, and it's just, it's lies. They're lies. But lies can cause torment just as much as truth. The truth, what I'm saying is a true situation that actually would be painful. Your perception of thinking something is true and painful when in fact it's not. You can experience just as much pain of what you think about a certain situation as if that thing were actually true. Did I say that clear enough? So in other words, a painful situation, if it were true, if somebody did hate you, the pain that you'd experience because of that, that person could think you're fine. But if you think they hate you, you can experience the same torment as if that were true, when in fact, it's not true. They like you. So you believing something that's not true can cause you pain, even though there's actually no danger. Did you know your brain does not differentiate between the two? It's true. We talked about this before, but you know, when you talk about athletes getting prepared for a game, they're visualizing themselves going through something, making a shot, whatever, you think that's just mind games. It's not mind games, because if your brain can see and be calm in a certain situation and see and expect a certain outcome, it doesn't differentiate between at a certain point that actually happening and you just imagining it happening. The emotions and everything at a certain point come the same way. So, if you're in a certain situation and you've seen yourself acting that out over and over and over positively, when you're actually in the situation, you're experiencing the same outlook, the same emotions, as if it had happened 1,000 times. Whereas, if you think something's negative, and you think somebody hates you, or you can't be around certain people, and you replay that over and over in your mind, it doesn't matter if that person actually loves you, walks up, you're going to act as if they hate you. And you're going to experience emotion as if they hate you. You know what I'm saying? Did I lose somebody? Are you guys just thinking? So what we believe, if we believe lies, it absolutely will affect what we experience. So the truth is very, very important. Somebody said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If you believe lies, they absolutely will hurt you. Now, they don't have to hurt you if you know the truth about what other people say about you, that can't hurt you. If you understand who you are through Jesus Christ and you understand that that's their problem, not yours, then absolutely, people can say stuff and you can deflect it. What? With the greater truth that doesn't have to affect me, that's their problem, and I choose not to let it affect me.
Amen.
Okay? But if you don't know that, and somebody says something to you, absolutely, that untruth can affect you greatly, affect your self-image. But what is the lie that's affecting you? Number one, they're saying something to you. You're believing it's true because you don't have the truth to combat the lie. So the lie becomes your truth and you act like that's true until the truth comes in and you realize, oh, I don't have to believe that way. To wipe this away and to set you free, you are bound. Hallelujah. The good thing is we can be free. There is a truth. There is God's truth in every area. Every area where we're experiencing discouragement or pain or fear or a dread is the result of a lie. And those lies stem from the father of it, the devil. Let's skip down there. John 8. I'm just looking back. I mean, let's just read this. I don't want to get off track. But, you know, we talked, it was back in December something about, you know, love not being a pushover. We read some of the things of Jesus. This is just another one of those places where Jesus is not, you know, just being real soft with these people. Two things. He's not being soft. Number two, this whole thing that, you know, we mentioned too about the brotherhood of man and everybody has the same father and everybody has God. It just kind of flies right in the face of that. Look at verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants and you seek to kill me. There you go. People he's talking to and they want to kill him. So, because my word has no place in you, I speak what I have seen with my father and you do what you have seen with what? With your father. Well, if everybody has the same father, everybody, you know, we're all brothers and sisters. Isn't that what Jesus said? Is that not what he said? Did he say, God's your father? He didn't say that. They answered and said to him, and he'll say it a little bit more clearer just here in a minute. Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man which has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." They're pushing back. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." Is this nice? Would this be so-called what we say, but is Jesus love? Yes, he is. But these people, evidently, they need, this is love, and this is about as nice as you can be. They're so hard that Jesus needs to, this is the only hope that they have of actually turning. He is giving them exactly what they need. Amen? Oh me. Verse 44, "You are of your father the devil." Is that clear enough? Is this devil the same as God?
No.
"You are of your father the devil," this is what I wanted to get to, "and the desires of your father, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth." Notice that. The devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Just like there is no falsehood in God, there is no truth in the devil. The only truth he has is God's truth, and he twists it. What does he bring to the table? Twisting, lying, warping, perversion. God, he doesn't bring any perversion or warping. All he has is pure truth. It says, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." He's a liar and the father of it. This is what the devil does, is he lies. He doesn't just lie once in a while. He doesn't tell a lie and then repent. He's a liar. It means anything he says is in some way, shape, or form a lie. You see this? Yeah, but it's you know, I feel like it's true. Well, I feel like the devil's beat. I know it's the devil. I know it's the enemy. I feel beat up, but it's true. It's just beating me up for what is. He's bringing to my mind things, my failings, my shortcomings. And so, I know it's the devil, but to say it's a lie wouldn't be true because I feel like it's true. Again, it may be true what he's saying about a certain situation that you did fall short there. That you did mess up. But it's not the whole truth.
Come on, that's good.
He's telling you this much and saying, "You messed up here. Therefore, you're a failure." That's not true. You may have messed up. That doesn't mean you're a failure. You may have done this wrong over here. Doesn't mean you were responsible for everything that happened afterwards. Which he'll tell you. You messed up, and this happened, therefore, this is your fault. Is that true? I'm saying, is that true in that situation? You would have to say, it may not be. Now, it could be. It could be in a different situation, it could be true. But I guarantee you, if you're feeling condemned about something, you're not seeing the whole truth. Because that would mean God would be depressed about it, because God is truth and knows everything about a situation. And I guarantee, even looking at your situation, he's not down about it. So what are you missing that he knows?
That's good.
The devil's not telling you that part. Did you hear me? So when he said, well, you can, whatever, you know, you can say what you want, but you know you messed up here. And you know that's true. Yeah, but what else? That may be true. What else is true that goes with it that he's not telling you? Because Jesus made a way out of everything. Anything. So is he telling you that? What's the truth That is, what way should you actually be looking at it that would bring peace and contentment? Yes, I did make this mistake, but I took care of it, and I've done what I know to do, and I didn't like the consequences of that, but God still has a plan. I'm still going to go forward with Him. He still has a way out. He still isn't done with me, and He still loves me.
Hallelujah.
What about all that? If we stay right there, we can acknowledge that, yes, this wasn't perfect, and I failed. Don't try to go the other way and just say, well, no, I didn't do anything wrong. If you failed, you say, I failed. But it doesn't end there. That's not it. God hasn't forgotten about me. God didn't give up on me. God isn't through with this situation. Well, I messed up here and it caused this physical ailment and I'm dealing with it and I'll just have to deal with it. That's a lie. You may have done something wrong. Maybe you abused your body. Maybe you're dealing with something, but that's not the end. Some people, they did stupid stuff when they were young. Who hasn't done stupid stuff when they're young? Huh? So I just have to deal with this thing for the rest of my life. That's a lie. You may have done something stupid. You may have messed up something in your body. The good news is, and the news that Satan won't emphasize and won't tell you, is that God, through Jesus, is a healer, and He can take things that are messed up, that you fully deserve, and that you did messed up, and redeem it, and you can be healed, and live a good, full life. Just because you'd made a mistake does not mean you have to live with the consequences for the rest of your life. There could be consequences, and we have to tell ourselves the truth about that and say, yes, this is the truth. I did do that. And yes, these consequences happen. But don't stop there. What is God saying about my situation now? What does He say about it? What is the truth about this situation? Because the devil is a liar. And if we listen to him, anytime you feel discouraged, anytime you feel depressed, anytime you feel hopeless, despondent, I just can't get over the fact, I can't get over this, you're listening to the liar. Period. Because think about it again, if you looked at the situation as God is looking at it, you're not depressed. The Holy Spirit has unlimited power. We're talking about this on Wednesday. We have the power of God on the inside of us. We have all the wisdom that we could ever need in any situation. We have all the resources of heaven backing us to do what He would tell us to do. The question is, what is He telling us to do, and what's the next step, and where do you go from here? If you listen to the enemy, you'll say, this is it. And he will tell you that at every turn. Even if it's completely, absolutely, out in left field, and any other three or four people that you told would say, you're upset about what? You think this is the end? I mean, that's not even logical. But logic has nothing to do with it if you're listening to the devil and he's spinning this record over and over in your head and saying, you're not going to recover from this. You're not going to recover. You know, and it's this minor, you stubbed your toe. But he's saying, this is going to take you down. You may think that's funny, but we do that. We listen to that type of stuff if we're not careful all the time. You make one mistake and this is going to be the end of you. It doesn't sound that quite that clean cut as what I just said. It's devious. It's insidious. It's like, no, you did this and this is going to lead to this and this person's going to think this and therefore it's just everything and pretty soon you might as well quit. That's where he wants to get you. You just might as well quit. But you look back and you go, and some you could tell somebody is like, well, that's not the whole, this person could say that and that, that's not it. But you listen to the enemy, he'll get you swirling like this to where you don't know up from down. That's exactly the way he wants it. That's where he thrives. Lies, deceptions, half-truths. Your child's going to do this. You know, they made a mistake in some area, so therefore, you know, that means 20 years from now, they're going to be in prison. Seriously, anybody, you know, they're not going to lead a life because they just did something that actually was just a childish behavior, was a one-off that isn't even indicative of any pattern. But, you know, now you got them. They're not. The devil will give thoughts like that all the time because he's a liar. Doesn't matter how much truth is in it, you know, as far as how much the truth he's mixing with it, because everything that comes from him is lies. It's just a matter of how much, what's the ratio going to be? You know, all the lies are coming from him. The truth is over here. It's like, how much of that truth does he got to make you, get you to believe something that's wrong? Hallelujah. Let's look there on your sheet. Praise God. Let's look at Revelation 12. Revelation 12, verse 7. I'm going to read a few of these verses in Revelation. It says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, and they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Look at Revelation 20. It says, 20 verse 1, "And then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while." Deceive the nations no more. Do you realize if there were no deception, if there were no devil, you know how fast the world's situation would clear up? Everybody would see that Jesus is the Christ. They would get saved. Maybe that would be it. We'd be out of here anyway. But all the problems that we just go around in circles as a nation and a world, how do we solve this? You don't think God knows how to solve it? Why is it so hard? Because we're holding on to all these half-truths and things that we think this has to be true. It's a lie, but we think this has to be true. We can't change that. And if we can't change that, how are we going to fix this? But then there's this over that, and we can't change that, so there's no way we can get here. And we've held on to all these lies, and we think there's no way to make this thing work. But if we start dropping all the lies and say, well, that's not actually true. We don't need to do that. We don't need that. And this is actually true. What? We thought that was wrong, but actually that's right. And it all of a sudden, and it's done. Oh, it's not so hard. But the fact is there's a devil. And he goes about blinding people and deceiving them. Look at verse 7, Revelation 20, verse 7 says, "Now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations." See, this is what he does. He's locked up, can't deceive anymore. Gets out, guess what he's going to go do? He's going to go deceive. "Which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together in battle, to those whose number is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. The fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is what the devil does. He goes about deceiving. Look back at 2 Corinthians. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 10 real quick. The devil is a liar. The devil is a deceiver. The devil has influenced this world. On your way to, let's go, 2 Corinthians, I said 10. Let's stop in verse or chapter 4. We'll get to 10, I think. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Actually, let's go to verse 2. 2 Corinthians 4:2. It says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So the people that don't believe, or if the gospel is veiled to people, why is it veiled? It's veiled because they've been deceived. By whom? By the deceiver. He's deceived the world. And he uses all sorts of ways to do it. All types of lies. All kinds of lies out there. You won't buy this lie? Well, how about this one? We got a whole store full of lies. How about this belief system? How about you don't believe there's a God? There is no God. This all came from nothing. Oh, you can't quite swallow that? Or back up. Well, there's no God, there's no devil. You don't swallow that? Okay. How about there's this person called Satan, and you should be evil and follow him and worship him and do wicked things and dress in black and wear weird makeup and sacrifice things and... Oh, that's not your cup of tea? Few people are going to buy that one. That's not you. Okay. How about there are many, many, many gods, and you can worship all of them at the same time. We don't really know which is which, and you know, but we don't want to leave any gods out, and we can just worship them all. Oh, you don't like that one? Okay, well, how about there's a God, and you can get to him any way as long as you're good. If you're a good person, that's the way to get to God. Don't like that one? How about, you know, there is... So, what if you were able to get through and believe that Jesus is the way and believe that He's the Christ and you can believe on Him and be saved, but... It's a hard road from there. And he may kill your baby. He may cause you to get divorced. He may cause, you know, your husband to get run over by a truck because his ways are mysterious and his ways are higher than ours and we just don't know. And he's controlling everything. So we just got to roll with it. There's any number of lies. He'll twist it any which way that'll get you not to believe the truth. Just, you know, you latch on to one thing, fine, but we'll skew this a little bit over here. Well, you believe, you've heard the word that, no, by His stripes you were healed and that you can receive healing. But the only way you're going to get it is by jumping through all these hoops. And if you do all this stuff well enough, then you can get your healing. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you're just not good enough. Every way, when you get past one roadblock, he's going to try to throw one more thing in your way to trip you up there. You wonder why there's how many denominations in the world? You wonder why there's all these belief systems? You wonder why people can't just get along in Christianity? It's because there's a deceiver. It's because he is there to divide people. He tries to deceive people. He tries to get this person to believe that this person, you know, doesn't like them. And so we're going to split here and we're going to go over and start our own denomination. And, well, we will agree with you 95%, but we don't like this thing, so we can't have coffee with you anymore. We're not going to be around you. And so it just keeps going. And look what you have now. Why? Again, untruth, deception, all over the world. He's a liar. He's blinded people. It's just like this smoke. Fog is everywhere in the earth, and people are believing this, and they're believing that, and they think this about this people group, and this about women, and this about men, and you know, just a mess. But the gospel, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will cut through and bring truth and clarity. But it's not, we can't look at people and our problems as just being people. It's not, there is something more than that. Yes, people have flesh, and yes, it's not all spiritual, but ultimately all these lies and things that we're dealing with, they've come from Satan. They had their origins in Satan. Men believe a lot of stupid stuff, and they do a lot of stupid stuff. But ultimately, they've been influenced, and this world has been influenced by the fall and by the curse. And we live in a world that's been influenced by the fall and the curse. And our parents were influenced by the fall and the curse. Anybody that taught you in elementary school, or middle school, or high school, or college, is not believing 100% right. And so the only thing that's going to give us clear truth is the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will also always confirm this truth. We make the mistake of start to war with people and to go against people and to think people are our problem. And somebody's doctrine is our problem somehow. We got to straighten them out. You know? People think it's their ministry to straighten everybody else out. Seriously. With the advent of the internet, now they just can't get the people just, you know, in their locality. Now they just go on the internet. Got all kinds of crowd, other people that think the same way, that think it's their ministry to straighten out everybody around them, and they all gather together and talk about how they need to straighten everybody out. And most of these people do not have a call of God on their life to actually minister the Word. Or if they did, they're so far off in the ditch now, yet they think it's their ministry to go straighten other people's doctrine out. But they themselves will not submit to a pastor, will not submit to what God is doing in the earth. Why? They're deceived. So don't worry about trying to straighten everybody else out. I think we all have enough work just to go and just say, where are my problems? What do I need to straighten out? What am I believing that's wrong? If I can take care of that, you know, I'm well on the way. And then if God He helps me and anoints me and calls me to do something that would help somebody else, I humbly take that and say, it's not me, it's His Word. I'm sharing His Word with you. It's His Spirit that's anointed me to help you. It's not me. Because I myself am flawed. That goes for every person you've ever heard minister the Word of God. People get off track because they start looking at a man. Well, just settle it. Every man is flawed in some way. Nobody has absolutely perfect doctrine either.
That's right.
The Word is 100% true and right. But nobody has a complete, perfect understanding of it. Now, that's not a negative confession. Again, if you say you have an absolutely perfect understanding of everything in this Word, you are saying you understand like God. Paul himself said, I see as through a glass darkly. I don't understand everything. Is that to say we're just bumbling around the dark? No. We know some things. We can understand things. We can base our life on the Word. But to say, I have it all together, so I'm going to go straighten you out, me, because I have universal understanding, is pride. You're being motivated by the wrong spirit. A spirit. The Bible says, you who are spiritual, correct somebody else. That means you're going saying, I could easily be in your boat, but you know I'm going to help restore you. A humble person will do that. A prideful person will come and say, you stupid person, why did you do this? As if they will never, that will never happen. The minute you say that will never happen to me, you're setting it up, setting yourself up for that to happen. But the devil's wicked. He's a deceiver. He gets people thinking that they, people who absolutely are doing absolutely his work, get them to think they're doing God's work. And they're being a blessing when actually they're not. But what we have to keep in mind, go over to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, or chapter 10, verse 3. Second Corinthians 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, everybody okay with that? You all walk in the flesh? It means you have a body? You okay there? We do not war according to the flesh. Because even though we're in a body, we don't carry on operations just according to what we see and hear and feel. Touch. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? It's truth. It's what is right. It is what is noble. It is what is God's way of looking at it. Anything that exalts itself against that would say that's wrong, would say the Word is wrong, would say the Spirit is wrong. That's what he's saying. Anything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, we need to cast that down. We need to take a hold of that and say that's not true. How are we going to do that? We have to know what the Word says about that situation in order to say this other thing is not true. The more knowledge we have of the Word, the more we can identify falsehoods. That's why the Word's so important. The more you've seen the Word and you've walked with the Spirit, the more somebody pipes up and says, well, this is the Word and I'm doing this and this, just say, no, that's wrong. That's the wrong spirit. That's off. And you do it humbly. You say, because this is what the Word says. That can't be right. That's not God. God does not do that. People are tormented because they believe Satan impersonates God and tries to say, tries to beat him up or bring some thought to their head and say, well, God is like, you know, a majority of people in this room would notice this is not truth, but a lot of the world buys this. When somebody says God is trying you in this, he sent this to you, he sent that sickness to you to test you or to help you to learn something. Most of you guys have heard enough truth to say that's not God. But some people will buy that hook, line, and sinker and say, okay. And so they're wondering, they're having all these thoughts and these emotions and thinking, why? I mean, imagine your child is suffering and somebody tells you, this is the will of God. We don't understand it, but this is what He wants. You know, you may want to serve God and your heart is toward God, but if you buy that as truth, you have a conflict. You have emotions that are ripping you apart saying, I want to serve God, but if God's going to do this to my baby, I don't know if I want to serve Him, but I have to serve. And you know, you're being ripped apart. Why? What does it stem from? Lies. It's not true. They're lies. That's not God. But somebody that knows the Word would say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not God. God does not do that. Actually, this is from the deceiver. This is from the liar. And that thing that you're being, you have a right to be angry, because anybody that would do that to your baby, you want to knock them out. That's the right emotion. That's the right feeling. But the thing that's the lie is that God is sending it. That's the wrong thing. God is on our side. God is our help. God is there to strengthen us. It's this devil that's doing it. And once you understand that, you point that anger and those emotions to where they rightfully belong, on this liar and this deceiver, and say, you are the cause of this. You get out. And the more word we know, the more we know our authority will stand up and say, this is a lie. This I will not stand for. And we'll know we have God at our back instead of feeling this conflict. Anytime you feel a conflict against God, it's based on a lie. Because God's good. And if you're thinking, but there's this, and why does he have me do this, and he's trying to get me to do this so that then I'm going to be, you know, this is going to happen to me and it's painful, you're believing a lie. It's a lie. Because you're associating this wrong thing and these turmoil feelings with God, which means your thinking is messed up somewhere. Because God's good. And God wants to help us. And God wants to see us through. And so anything that we would have this turmoil, we just need to know, okay, God, show me. Put your finger on the thing that is not true here. But it clearly says here, for we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Look on your sheet in the Amplified Bible. It says, for though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah and the Anointed One. See, when we have things come to us and are trying to challenge God, we have to know. When we have dealings with people, we have to know there's more to it than just this person. If this person's acting out of whack toward me, or I perceive it that way, either I'm looking at it wrong, or they have a problem, but it's based on untruth somewhere. Yeah. So our prayer should be, God, show me the truth, so I can, you know, if I need to change, I'll change, but if they're off, then I'm just going to ignore that. I'm going to see how I, what's the truth? What's the truth in the situation? And if I'll look to that, then I'm going to be set free. Then I'm going to see as I ought to see. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Look at Ephesians 6 on your sheet there. It says, finally, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the wiles of the devil. That's his schemings. That's his plans. Right. He comes up with some junk, and he tries to carry it out in our lives. So we got to know that we have to be strong. What? In the Lord, in the power of His might. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We don't wrestle against other people. It's never absolutely the core of our problem. Anybody found this out? The more you try to deal with it in the flesh, with your flesh, now, you know, you get mad at somebody, that doesn't work most of the time. You know, somebody goes into a store. Let me, you know as well as I do, probably seen stuff where, you know, at a store or airline or whatever. I mean, how many times When somebody doesn't do something right in a situation, an attendant or, you know, somebody working in the store, how many times if, let's say, somebody, you know, a flight attendant doesn't do the right thing for some passenger, how many times does it work well for the passenger to go off on the attendant and get mad at them and start, you know, calling them names? Do they get what they want? No, in fact, at that point, you're done. I mean, they have the power to help you or hinder you. You know, I heard an account of somebody, I can't remember what it was, I was listening to some message. But they were, you know, they were in one of these lines for, the flight had been canceled. And you know, if you have a flight canceled, depending on when the next flights are, you know, that can be very frustrating. But people, and I, you know, our flight was canceled, we came back, I think it was in July. That's not fun. You know, you have kids and you have, as soon as people find out the flight's canceled, they all start lining up at the attendant. And if you see that person is there to serve you and help you, well, in this other situation, this was a guy that was traveling a lot and there were people in front of the line and they were getting mad at the attendant and, you know, cussing them out or whatever and calling them stupid and I shouldn't have to put up with this. Well, they didn't get any help. And then these people, they came up and they were just nice and, you know, must be hard being in your situation and so on and so forth. And this person ended up getting them on a good flight in a good seat or whatever. I mean, if you react out of your flesh, all you do is appeal to the other person's flesh. You poke them with your flesh, their flesh wants to poke back. And the less spiritual they are, the more likely they're going to come back at you. It's not going to get us what we want. We're not really dealing with the flesh. We're not really dealing with that so many times. We're dealing with other things. And a lot of times when we are dealing with them, it's based on misunderstandings on our side or their side, probably both, and so we get into some turmoil either way. Praise God. But truth. Whatever things are true. How are we going to know that things are true? Look at Romans 12 in closing. To close with this. Romans 12, 1. It's, you know, these are familiar verses of Scripture here. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. Well, we know this world is blinded by the devil. The ideas in this world have been corrupted by the enemy. The people of this world are buying lies a lot of times. The things that a lot of people hold as true in this day and age are flat out falsehoods. So, how are we going to know what is true and is false? We're going to have to change the way we think. Notice what we started out with. When we think of things that aren't true, we can react as if the very thing that is actually false is true and have all the emotions. How are we going to change that? We're going to have to change our processing up here, change the way we think. Start changing the way we're processing this information. How? In light of God's Word. In other words, something happens. Instead of saying, well, yeah, Dad always said this would happen, or I, you know, quote some saying, some proverb in your mind that's not actually a biblical proverb, but something, some saying that we've accepted as true. So when this happens, we know this is kind of our guiding principle that we go to. Is that the right thing? Is that truth? If it's not based on the Word of God, then we need to change it. And say, I don't care if Daddy said that for 30 years. If Mama always said this. If, you know, we grew up on this. I have to modify it and start saying, God's Word says something different. God's Word says something different about my situation. Well, I always do this and I'm so stupid and this happens. Okay? Is that true? Which of those things is actually the truth of the situation? If we'll say, wait, God's Word says this. God has hope. God has a way of looking at it. Then that's when we actually start renewing our mind. Renewing our mind isn't just quoting a bunch of new scriptures. Renewing our mind is when things come in, we actually process it different than we used to.
That's right. That's good.
Processing it in line with truth, which is the way God would view it. In other words, if we are in a situation, how does God look at it? What things are true? Think on these. And that can change every situation, every part of our life. Amen.